Guess I should turn that on too. I'm just losing my mind tonight, aren't I? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You would. We started, got through part of that last week, and we're going to finish up the rest of that, Lord willing, tonight. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the blessings that were shared. We thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. And Father, we're just praying that you would be drawn closer to you as we walk with you. And we thank you for all that you're accomplishing. I pray, Father, as we look into your word again, I pray that the truths of it would come alive to us. We would apply these things to our lives, and that we would share what we learn with others, that they too can have the joy of the salvation that we have, knowing Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, but be filled with the Spirit. Got to the point, but be filled with the Spirit. True communion with the God is not induced by drunkenness, but by the Holy Spirit. We can be Spirit-filled. The choice is ours. God allows it. The choice is ours. We have to decide that we want to be Spirit-filled. Now, don't get me wrong, we got the Holy Spirit. As soon as we got saved, we got the Holy Spirit. And we didn't get part of Him, we got all of Him. We got the Holy Spirit. Do we want to be filled with the Spirit? Do we want to walk in the Spirit? Do we want to do what God has called us to do, be in His will? That choice is ours. We have to decide that we want it. Because when we don't want it, we're obviously going to go off and do our own thing. But if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to want to do the things that God has called us to. Paul is not speaking of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, as I said. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He's not talking about the baptism by Christ with the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. First Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Every Christian is indwelt with the Spirit at the time of salvation. Every single born-again believer in Jesus Christ gets the Holy Spirit at that moment of salvation. Praise the Lord, right? I tell you, many times I've said, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the convicting that goes on with the Holy Spirit. He convicts us when we do what we're not supposed to. Many times you can hear that still small voice saying, "You ought not have done that." Here Paul is rather giving a command for believers to live continually under the influence of the Spirit by letting the Word control them, pursuing pure lives, confessing all known sin, dying to self, surrendering to God's will, and depending on His power in all things. Now, confessing all sin isn't, "God, if by chance I might have possibly sinned today, please forgive that." That's not confessing all known sin. We need to name it. Whatever the sin was, we need to name it. We need to confess that that is sin and get that right. I always find it interesting. If we possibly might have, no, When we did, we need to confess what we did and make sure that we are living filled with the Spirit. Then being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting His mind through the Word dominate everything that is thought and done. Being filled with the Spirit is the same as walking in the Spirit. Christ exemplified this way of life. Christ is our example, right? I mean, we always like to make other believers our example, but our example should always be Christ. How do we measure up to Him? He lived this. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. I like the fact that we have a Savior that came and lived here, went through all the things that we go through, and yet without sin. And we say, but it's impossible. And yes, it's impossible for us not to sin because we give in to the flesh. And some people say, well, it's hard to war against the flesh all the time. We get tired of warring, right? And we just give in. Well, that's why we sin, because we let the flesh win. But Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." The be filled here means be continually filled, emphasizing that the fullness of the Spirit is a repeated experience for believers. When a person is drunk with an alcoholic beverage, his walk, talk, and sight are all controlled by the alcohol. You lose control of yourself when you get drunk. The only wine that any of us need is the new wine, the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are filled with the understanding that the Spirit brings with it. God desires that the minds of Christians be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that they will walk in the Spirit, speak on behalf of God, and understand the things of God. If we're not being filled with the Spirit, if we're not walking like we're supposed to, we are going to be out there doing things that we ought not to do. Because people are indwelt by the Holy Spirit at salvation, they do not need to get more of the Holy Spirit. But the filling of the Spirit occurs when the Holy Spirit gets more of the believer. Every Christian should be filled with the Spirit in order that he may have God's power to serve Him. We can't do this on our own. It's obvious that we cannot live this Christian life on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. That's why they said, "I die daily." We have to die to self daily and let Him live through us. And when we do that, we're letting Him have more of us. Look at Acts chapter 1, 8. It's a verse I've used numerous times. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, excuse me, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We say, we can't witness to people. What are we going to do? What are we going to, well, die to self and let Him live through you. That'd be a good start. He'll give you what you need when you need it. But as I've said many times, He can't recall something that was never there, right? So we got to get in His Word. We got to study His Word. We got to live His Word so that when we need these things, He can bring it to us, and then we have it. He'll say, and let me just say this, because some people say, well, do you always have the right thing to say every time somebody questions you about something? No. Sometimes I have to tell them I don't have the answer to that, but I'll look it up. And we need to do that. Let's not try to buffle our way through things. Let's just tell Him the truth. Isn't that what Jesus would do? Tell Him the truth? He's our example. If we're going to live like He did, if we're going to do what He's called us to do, we need to be truthful. We need to be honest. And up front with people. You know, I found through the years that if you just tell people you don't know, but that you'll check and you'll get back to them, they're okay with that. I don't think anybody expects everybody to know everything about everything. There's some things we just need to study and find the answer to it. As we establish our fellowship with God through confession of sins, in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to yield to him. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to yield to him. It's a big, important part, is yielding to him, not to other things or other people. We can be filled with the Spirit if that is our desire. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then in prayer, look at Luke 11:13. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We need to ask. The Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. We need to ask. And that doesn't mean going around asking God for all this goofy stuff that we don't need anyway. No, I mean, you start asking God, well, God, you know, I'd like to have a jet. What are you going to do with it anyway? Well, God, I'd like to have a yacht. How much time do you have for a yacht? I don't have much. How about the mansion on the hilltop? People say, well, the Bible says I have not because I asked not, and I've asked for all these things and I still don't have them. Well, because God knows that you would consume them upon your own lusts, which the Bible also talks about. So we need to ask, but let's ask according to his will. This verse gives us an example of what is and what is not the Lord's will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, as we covered last week. Believers are not allowed to be intoxicated with alcoholic beverages. The reason for this prohibition is, wherein is excess, that is, drunkenness, leads to moral intemperance. This is clearly contrary to God's will. His will is that Christians be filled with, or by, the Spirit. That is, that they are to allow him to fill them with God's own life, character, and virtues. The analogy between these two moral states is this: a person filled with wine is under its influence. Similarly, a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit when he controls his thoughts, attitudes, and actions. When we're controlled by the Spirit, we're going to act differently. When we're controlled by the Spirit, you know what's going to happen when we're out there on the road and somebody cuts us off in traffic? We're not going to yell at them. Right? I get it. I'm a driver too, folks. I get it. It's not easy. When people cut you off in traffic and then slam on the brakes and you nearly get in an accident, praise the Lord, he's protected you. And the first thing you say is, how dumb can you be? I don't think that's being controlled by the Spirit. I always say, after we yell at them, should we invite them to church? I mean, you know, I have a license around on my car that says, Jesus, don't leave Earth without him. Isn't that nice to see that and then have me yelling at them and shaking my fist at them and telling them how dumb they are? Then what do? Invite them to church? I mean, doesn't make any sense, right? If we're controlled by the Spirit, we're going to handle those things in a better way. In fact, it was the coming of the Holy Spirit that made real all the promises of Jesus Christ. Christians have just claim to all Christ's promises the moment we believe in him, but we cannot have their fulfillment until we allow his Spirit to fill us and control us. Unless we know what it is to be directed by the Holy Spirit, we will never know the bliss of the assurance of heaven or the joy of effective work for the Lord or having our prayers answered constantly or of indulging in the fullness of God's own love, joy, and peace within us. We can't experience all of that without walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And submission to the will of God, to Christ's lordship and the guiding of the Spirit is essential, not an optional part of saving faith. And you get that? We don't just say, again, as I've mentioned many times in the past, cafeteria-style Bible. You don't take the parts you like and leave the parts you don't. We get the whole Word of God. We're supposed to apply the whole Word of God. Not the parts we like. You know, we like the part God is love. We're not so happy with the part God is the God of judgment. We don't like the part that God corrects us when we do wrong. We don't like the part about consequences for sin. But we sure like blessings. And we like the love of God. Well, we can't have bits and pieces. We get it all. And unless we are filled with the Spirit, submitting to the will of God and to Christ's lordship, we're not going to have what we need in our lives. A new, untaught believer will understand little of the full implications of such obedience, but the spiritual orientation of his new nature in Christ will bring the desire for submission to God's Word and God's Spirit. A person who does not have that desire has no legitimate claim on salvation. Didn't we have didn't our desires change when we got saved? I know mine did. I've said before, I wanted to go to church. It wasn't just because church was a fun place to go. I wanted to go and hear the preaching of the Word. I went from going because it was a fun place to go. We made crafts. We had fun. I mean, I was a teenager. We went to VBS. Went to church camp. We played games. We had friends there. I mean, that was what church was about to me until I got saved. Then it was about hearing the Word of God. Learning more about the Word of God. See, things change. The Bible says they will. And they should. Being filled with the Spirit detaches us from the desires, the standards, the objectives, the fear, and the very system of this world and gives us a vision of God that comes in no other way. Oh, we no longer have to fear death, right? Death is a change of locations. When I take my last breath here, I'm going to be home with the Lord. Instantaneous. I used to tell my dad, it's going to be the quickest flight I've ever taken. I won't have to find a place to put my belongings. I'll just be from here to there like that. And quicker than that, by the way. Bible's clear, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's that fast. So we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear these things. We don't have to fear what man might do to us. The worst thing that man could do to us is take this life from us. We'll still have eternal life. this body will lay down in death one day regardless. Doesn't matter. Always have people, they'll ask, so what's going to happen when you die? I'm not dying. This body will lay down in death, but I'm going to live forever. I have eternal life. So it doesn't matter. Being filled with the Spirit makes everything else of secondary importance, and often of no importance at all. To be filled with the Spirit involves confession of sin, surrender of will, intellect, body, time, talent, possessions, and desires. It requires the death of selfishness and the slaying of self-will. As I mentioned this morning, right? It's all about me. That's selfishness. We got to get past that. And I know this world system teaches that big time. It's all about me. It's all about me. Me first, right? No, it's not about us. It shouldn't be me first. It should be Jesus first. It's all about Him. What would He do? What would He want? How would He act? When we die to self, the Lord fills us with His Spirit. The principle started by John the Baptist applies to the Spirit as well as to Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. See, when we realize we're really nothing, and He is everything, and we put Him in the rightful place in our lives, which is first, by the way, if He comes anywhere in your life but first, there's a problem. He has to come first. Had people tell me, no, my spouse comes first. No, the Lord Jesus Christ has to come first. And both in the relationship need to understand that God comes first. After that, then yes, I get it. Then your spouse. But very first and foremost, God comes first. And some people don't like that. Well, you know, I didn't make the rules. God did. The person who is Spirit-controlled and who bears the Spirit's fruit is the person who belongs to Christ and who has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Again, dying to self. Not about us. If we live by the Spirit, Paul continued, let us also walk by the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 24 and 25. Galatians 5, verse 24 says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to fulfill the ultimate potential and capacity of our life on earth as God's very own children. You need to be walking in the Spirit constantly. You know, if we're walking in the Spirit, people aren't going to be out there saying, oh, look at that one. Look at what they're involved in. And they belong to God? I don't think so, right? Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, people are going to say, that one there belongs to God. There's going to be a noticeable difference in our lives. And let me say, it's not easy to live this victorious Christian life because we want to do it in our flesh. We have to die to self and let God do it through us. And then we can have the victory. We got to understand we can't do it without Him. It's not about us and what we can do. It's about Him and what He wants to do through us. I think of so many times of, like, Mary. Mary, just another human being on the face of the planet, right? God sent the angel to her. Mary, you're going to be with child. Mary had an opportunity to say, no, I don't think so, Lord. God would have found someone else. Mary was willing to be used of God. Let's think of Saul on the road to Damascus, right? He thought he was doing great things for God. He was persecuting Christians. I mean, what better thing could you do for God, right? He really believed what he was doing was right. God got a hold of him. God used someone that was persecuting his own people and saved his life, saved him, his soul, and turned him and used him for great things because he was willing to be used of God. See, God will change us if we let him. I could go on and on and on. I mean, there's so many people in the Bible that God used in a mighty way. David. Even after David sinned, he repented of that sin. Very obvious in the scriptures, you can see. He really repented of his sin. He was really sorry what he did. And God used him because he was willing to be used of God. See, I've said many times, God will use any of us who are willing to be used. But we have to be willing to die to self and let him use us. Too many times we're wanting to do it. Like I remember our little grand, I do it my own self, right? I do it my own self. No, we aren't going to be able to do it our own self. We have to die to self and let him live through us. If we want the victorious Christian life, we can have it, but we've got to want it. If we don't want it, we're not going to get it. All right, we are out of time, not enough to start the next verse, so we'll end there.